Recording has started. You may begin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on December 12, 2018. In the interest of time, attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room and the phone bridge. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for the transcript and to keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'd like to turn it over to the BC Chair to begin. Claudia, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chantelle, and thank you very much, everybody, for participating to today's call. In the interest of time, I will give the floor to Steve for the policy calendar. Thank you, Steve. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Claudia. Chantelle, thank you for loading the policy calendar. I emailed this yesterday evening, so BC members should all have it in your inbox. Turning to the first channel one on public comment process, since our last BC members call, we filed two comments. Yesterday, we filed a comment on the initial report of that cross-community working group that's been looking at what to do and how to allocate new GTLD auction proceeds. A big thanks to Tola, David Sneed, and Marilyn Cade, and Jimson for providing a lot of edits. It's an excellent guide, I think, for the participation of Marilyn and other BC members on that ongoing work of the CCWG for auction proceeds. Marilyn, you're on the call, and I want to note for you that when we get later into Channel 2 of the policy calendar, you'll note that I have an excerpt of the BC position regarding the use of auction proceeds to replenish the reserves of ICANN, so that can inform Scott and Marie if it comes up at the council meeting on the 20th of December. Thanks again. Also on December the 3rd, we filed a BC comment on the draft report of this external consultants review of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, or SSAC. These are required every 5 years per the ICANN bylaws. The consultants report made a series of recommendations. None were too dramatic. And I want to thank Tim Chen for leading the BC drafting on most cases agreed with what the consultants had recommended for the SSAC. But Tim led, and with the help from Chantel, we were able to suggest that because the SSAC is a closed group, literally invitation only for its membership, that we're suggesting that they adopt some sort of a term limitation to get fresh blood into the ranks of the SSAC membership, not just the SSAC leadership. Tim, thank you very much for leading us on that. Good work. All right, turning now to the currently open public comments. This will take a little bit of time, but please bear with me. The first one up is due the 14th of December, just 2 days from now. This is a comment on the proposed new consensus policy for what to do with the names of the Red Cross and their affiliated groups at the second level in domain names and GTLDs. These comments, as I said, close in just 2 days. I'm going to thank Marie and Mark Dadisgeld, who drafted a two-paragraph comment, which I've embedded right here in the policy calendar, so it's all very easy for you to read. I'll give you a moment to read that because I'd like to get confirmation on this call for us to submit that in 2 days. I would also say to Marie and Mark, if you have anything to add, you could do so now. You'll note that what Marie and Mark have drafted here tries to suggest that what the Red Cross protections are necessary to protect charities and those of us on this planet who donate to charities so that we don't become defrauded and the money isn't denied of worthwhile causes. So we're not basing on an intellectual property law, and I think that was a great note to make, Marie. All right, are there any comments, Marie, Mark, or anyone else? All right, hearing none, unless I get something back from BC members by COB on the 14th, I will file that comment for the BC. In fact, get to me by COB on the 13th, so I have time to file it in the morning. The second one up is supplemental initial report from the subsequent procedures, PDP. This is about procedures for the subsequent rounds of new GTLD expansion, sort of a strange name, but subsequent procedures is the name that stuck. Some people call it subpro. The comments close a week from Friday on the 21st of December. And the supplemental report itself is put together in a way that it's fairly easy to respond to since there are a series of structured questions. It is the second attachment to the policy calendar email And I want to thank Susan Kawaguchi, Andrew Mack, Vivek for helping to draft that comment. And since it is due before our next BC call, this is an opportunity to probe some of the suggestions we have in the draft comment and ask any questions of those who've drafted. It's the second attachment to the policy calendar. I want to point out that in this comment, the BC is reiterating concerns we have about speculative applications for new GTLDs and something we have called gaming, the notion of putting in many, many, many bids with an attempt to earn revenue through a private auction of contention and then use that revenue to bid on the TLDs they really wanted. I mean, nothing illegal about it, but it doesn't even remotely keep with the spirit and intentions of a competitive application process, and was a significant disadvantage for applicants from smaller markets around the world. So what the BC has done in this report is picked up on a suggestion from the working group, a suggestion that I can, in the next round, adopt what are called Vickery auctions. It's an English auction style. So when applications are submitted, the applicant for that TLD would include a sealed bid for what they'd pay for that TLD if there was contention. In other words, they have to make their decision at the time they're submitting the application of how high they would go if there was contention for that auction. There's also suggestions in there that if it's a community evaluation, community priority applicant, they wouldn't have to go to auction. They would get it automatically, right, if they passed the community evaluation. And there's also discussion of multipliers so that a disadvantaged applicant from a lesser developed country would get a multiple of their bid to compete with perhaps some more wealthy applicants that they would contend with. So this would mean no more private auctions. There would be no distribution of funds to losing bidders. It would mean that the only auction would be based on sealed bids, and all the money would go to ICANN, presumably disposed according to the rules that the CCWG and auction proceeds would use. Are there any comments from the drafters or BC members? You're a quiet crowd this morning. All right, I'll also ask, we need a BC member to volunteer to represent us on the subsequent procedures PDP working group. Remember, they're nearing the end of their work. I would anticipate several more months. But as you know, we're already looking at initial and supplemental reports from them. So at this point, when it comes time for that PDP working group to count heads, someone from the BC needs to be in the room to raise their hand and represent the BC position. We did have a couple of BC members from Amazon who had departed, so we don't have anybody who's very active on that. Margie Milam is listed among the participants, but Margie is also our rep on the EPTP. Can I get a volunteer, just one, to serve on that working group? This is the PDP subsequent procedures. Is anybody out there? Seriously, honestly.
Yes, Steve, I guess people are silent.
Yeah, okay. Well, I thought maybe Adobe wasn't working because no one's raised their hand to volunteer for this one. Now, Staten, I'm glad to know you're on Work Track 5, and I'm going to be bringing that up on Item 6 in Channel 2. Thank you, Staten. But we do need someone to follow the other work tracks. All right, while you're thinking about that, let me turn to number 3. Which is an initial report for the expedited PDP. We call it the EPDP for the temporary specification on what to do with HUBIS in the face of GDPR. Those comments also close a week from Friday. We've got a large group of BC members led by Mason Cole who are helping the volunteer to draft the BC comment. We've had 2 calls already. We had one yesterday, and we have another one coming up Friday. We do need some active participation from BC members who've been following this EPDP to help to draft the BC answers. There are 90 questions in this document. We have well over half of them answered, those that are relevant, but we need some help by this Friday to get more answers in. We've done this through a live action Google Doc. I have a link to it under number 3. That Google Doc enables all of you with the link to add text and suggest comments, maybe even raise questions about what the BC is suggesting. So those of you who have thoughts on this EPDP, please enter into that Google Doc, enter your comments, perhaps put your name associated with your comments so that we can all look at them on our Friday call, and better still, join the Friday call to help us finish the drafting. This is considered 10-day notice to all of you on what the answers are in our draft, since it's attached here. Okay, next one up is policy status report for the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy. So abbreviation is the IRTP. This is the way in which a registrant can ask for the transfer of their domain name registration records from one registrar to another. And when that happens, they have an Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy. This is not a comment for the BC to file, but rather they're asking for any registrant who just had experience doing transfers of their names among registrars to complete the survey. They have a second-page survey. It's relatively easy. So this is an ideal opportunity for BC members who have any experience, positive or negative, transferring domain names to click on the link in my policy calendar on item 4 and fill in the survey. All right, just two other ones, which aren't due until January. I need a volunteer to help draft a comment on the new dispute resolution service provider. The Canada International Internet Dispute Resolution Center wants to become one of the dispute resolution providers for ICANN. Comments close the 4th of January. We have a few Canadian residents on the phone who know anything at all about this Internet Dispute Resolution Center in Canada. It'd be great for you to volunteer to help assess whether they're capable of doing the job and should be approved. Zach, please go ahead.
Yeah, Zach Muscovich. I'm Canadian, and I've brought complaints and defended complaints at that Canadian outfit, so I'm happy to volunteer in conjunction with anyone else to draft a comment on that. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Zach. Zach, I have a link to the application from Canada International. Look it over, and you can circulate an email. I'll help you to circulate it through the BC. Again, it's not due till January 4th, but with some of the end-of-year holidays coming up, we're going to want to get it in people's queue early. Thank you. And then number 6 is a comment due near the end of January, the 22nd. It's on Work Track 5 of that Subsequent Procedures Working Group, and they're dealing with geographical names and the whole tricky topic of what to do with names of things like rivers and regions that aren't truly geographical entities. Staten, I've got you down as one person who's representing the BC in there, and I do hope you'll help us to come up with comments on the supplemental initial report. Are there other BC members that can help? And Staten, if you want to add any color to what's in that supplemental report, please do so. Mark Dadesgeld, thank you, Mark. Important to have somebody from the region that gave rise to this controversy, our South American friends. All right, let me segue to the next item, which is modifying who is for compliance to GDPR. As I told you earlier, that is the EPDP. And Margie Milam, Mark Svancharek have done an amazing amount of work, multiple two-hour calls every week, plus preparation calls beforehand, and a lot of emails to read, analyze, and respond to along the way. For instance, we have our next call, two-hour call tomorrow morning. And at this point, we're waiting on public comments to come in. And earlier, I mentioned in the policy calendar that we're drafting the BC response to those public comments. And there'll be quite a bit of work on this team in analyzing it. Margie and Mark, is there anything you'd like to add for the BC member colleagues about what the EPDP status is right now?
Sure, Steve. It's Margie. Can you hear me?
We do.
I really appreciate all the help we've been having in putting together those responses. I would like to encourage the BC members to also file independent comments because we are, in a sense, outnumbered in this group, and a lot of the issues that are important to us are ones that that we're in the minority on. And so it's really important to be able to get as much input from different companies in addition to the BC comments. So that's just something I wanted to flag. And the group continues to work. We'll be working on preparing for our next face-to-face in January, mid-January. And so the ideas once the public comment period is closed. We'll take a look at those comments and update the recommendations. One of the issues I wanted to flag for this group is in particular an issue that came up on the last call, and that relates to when we start talking about access. There's a little bit of a disagreement on the team regarding what the charter says and when it's appropriate to start talking about access. It's our position on the BC that the gating questions have been answered through the initial report, and now it's time to go ahead and do that. But that's something that, according to the charter, requires the GNSO Council to also weigh in. So I think this is something that our GNSO counselors on the BC should be aware of, and we should strategize on how to get that issue up to the GNSO Council so that we can actually start working on the issues relating to access. And I think
thank you, Margie. Margie, that's very helpful. Chantel, if you're able to load the attachment 3 from the policy calendar, it's a PDF. If you please load that into Adobe, boy, you're fast. Margie has tried to draw an important distinction, is that when it comes to who is data, assuming it's even collected, there's three elements of disclosure. It's published in the public who is, to the extent that the fields are not redacted. But there are also opportunities to request the disclosure from a registrar or registry where a party gives the reason and the purpose why they need access, and the registrar or registry is supposed to have a reasonable process to grant disclosure of that information using the GDPR 6.1F balancing conditions. We haven't been able to get much in the way of standards associated with that, and that would be in the lower left-hand corner of the diagram. So the upper left is the publication of data that's not redacted. We're in a battle to make sure that organization continues to be displayed for the temp spec. The lower left is this notion of asking for disclosure, but knowing that the discretion about whether to disclose is in the hands of the registrar and registry. Margie brought up the next thing we do once we answer the gating questions, and that's on the right-hand side of the diagram. We call it access for short, but it's this notion that parties that have been accredited, whose codes of conduct have been approved by a data protection authority, could make a request of ICANN, and ICANN then can force the registrar to return an answer using the RDAP technology, and that answer would be routed to the requester. It would be logged as well. So we discussed this extensively in Barcelona, and the BC, IPC, and even the contract parties endorse it. Since ICANN becomes the responsible legal party for compliance with GDPR, and if ICANN can find a way to do that, it can compel the registrars to return answers. And a lot of the folks on this call doing cybersecurity and consumer protection and IP protection will be able to try, will at least be able to attempt to be certified by the Data Protection Board as a legitimate user. So, Margie, I just wanted to add a little context. I know you're on in transit, but is there anything else you want to add with respect to the EPDP? Mark SV, you as well.
No, Margie's covered almost all of it. Just as you're providing your individual feedback, do take note of the areas that, you know, we feel are important. Keeping the organization field unredacted, there are a lot of contrary arguments, you know, saying that, well, that could be personal data or it could be linked back to personal data. These are weak arguments. If you have access to legal resources that can provide good rationale why these are weak arguments, that kind of stuff would be very helpful. So, you know, areas of consent related to various fields, things like that, anything that you can weigh in on with a unique legal perspective would be very helpful, as well as just, you know, business rationales.
And also cybersecurity rationale, something you're an expert in.
Yeah, cybersecurity rationale. Yeah, we probably have cybersecurity covered, but, yeah, keep piling on to that one.
All right, any questions for Margie and Mark? Thank you. I now want to turn it over to Marie Petullo and Scott McCormick. They're our counselors at the GNSO, and in Channel 2 of the policy calendar, which is being loaded right now, you'll see that I have recapped the 26th of November motion. I recapped the last council meeting where just a couple of items came up. Let me scroll down to that on the policy calendar here. Hold on a moment. All right, so let the top of the screen in Adobe. And we can turn to Scott and Marie to describe what was done and what we expect to happen at the 20th of December meeting. Scott, Marie.
Hi, Steve. This is Marie. I'll kick off and Scott will fill in the blanks. There wasn't that much that came out of the last council meeting. The agenda got a little bit hijacked with a side conversation about whether or not we should approve the GAC communique, simply because the registries think that the GAC keep repeating the same advice and they'd like them to realize that we've actually listened to it, which is to do with the second level domains, but sorry, two character domains. But nothing really happened of great import. The next meeting is next Thursday. At the moment on the consent agenda for that, on the draft consent agenda, is this should we or should we not put in the comment on the GAC communique, which is really not contentious, but we'll see. Secondly, we're expecting next Monday the standing committee to approve a candidate on behalf of the GNSO who would serve as mentor for the ICANN fellowship program during 2019. So we expect to be able to vote on that as well. Then there's a whole bunch of discussions. One will be about the ongoing problem of what to do about the IGO, INGO access security rights protection mechanism report. As you'll remember, there was a report that came out of the PDP, which was disputed by a number of different parties, both the process and the content. And in essence, the council is still trying to figure out what the best way forward is, including the outstanding issue that the report conflicts directly with GAC advice, which, of course, is not a reason to reject the report, but we do have to be practical going forward. We also expect to be having a discussion on the reserve fund. You'll note that Steve has given you details on that already. It didn't happen at the last council meeting because we got stuck in this circular conversation. We're also going to be having a discussion on what to do about policy development processes, how to make it work better. As you know, recording that in 3.0. I sent to everyone earlier a draft implementation plan that's come out of council leadership. We're going to be discussing it both next week and when the council has a face-to-face in January. I'd be really, really grateful if anyone who's ever been on a PDP working group, ever led a PDP working group, ever thought it was great, ever got frustrated. We really want your concrete input here because this is about making the policy process work, and you guys are the ones that have been involved for years. So I'd be really grateful if you can, anything at all, any ideas, give them to Scott and I so we know what you want us to do, what you want us to say. Also, you're shortly going to see there's a new call for volunteers on a drafting team to develop guidelines and principles for GNSO's roles and obligations as a, quote, decisional participant in the empowered community. Committee. That's already been issued. If you think you would be interested, you have until 2nd of January. And Chantel, if Steve's okay with us, maybe we can circulate that to the full BC. And finally, there is possibly, I don't know, maybe going to be a call for volunteers for the WHOIS procedure implementation advisory group. Now, that's to do with how WHOIS conflicts with privacy law. Of course, at the moment, it's on hold because of the EPDP. Theoretically, when the EPDP came out with its initial report, the GNSO was supposed to be asking for volunteers for this new advisory group. Not quite sure that this is the best time to quote staff. Efforts may be a little premature. It may be on the agenda for next week's council, but it's not yet. So that's enough from me. Over to Scott.
Scott, I have nothing further to add.
Thanks, Scott and Marie. Marie, you mentioned the idea that they want to reconstitute, council wants to reconstitute the drafting team on how the GNSO makes decisions and policies within the new empowered community. As one of the leaders of that empowered community design, I was the one who chaired the last drafting team, and it would be logical for me to participate since I can carry over on the knowledge of how it was drafted and what we did the first time. However, for that work to begin in January, I would need one of the many BC members that are helping on the EPDP to step up and take my place as alternate for those calls. And we can make that decision sometime in January. So those of you that have been helpful, Mason, Staten, Faisal, Susan, the rest of you, think about whether you could do that. Any questions for council? Marie and Scott, you'll note that I've pasted an excerpt from the BC's approved position on auction proceeds being used for replenishment of the ICANN reserve. It's on just underneath that item where I've listed it in the policy calendar into the 20th of December. Okay, we'll move on now to Channel 3, which is the CSG. Now, Barbara is dialed in from someplace in Brussels, or perhaps even on a train. Barbara, I don't see you in Adobe. Are you still on the line?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
We do, perfectly. So, Barbara,
okay,
if you don't have Adobe in front of you, what I had done was indicated you are planning topics for CSG. We have attached to the policy calendar your complete list of proposed meetings, topics, and questions, and they indicated to everyone they should get back to you by the 14th of December with suggestions. I also paste in your three-paragraph takeaways from your meeting with Joran in Washington. Take it from here.
Great. That's great, and that kind of constitutes my report. So I look forward to input from people concerning our planning for ICANN 64. And the point that Joran made about the technical aspects of credentialing, I think dovetail with what you discussed earlier, with what you and Margie discussed earlier concerning access.
Barbara, Steve, I have a question for you. In addition to your report, what was the general theme that Joran is taking? Is he still confident that he can persuade his prior fellow regulators to find a way through the WHOIS mess? Has he talked at all about getting a European government to find that WHOIS is a public interest service? Anything like that?
He didn't get into any of that at all. He did say, as I noted, that ICANN will issue for public comment, a proposal about how ICANN deals with governments on certain policy questions. So I don't know whether it could be addressed within the context of that, but he made no mention of that in our meeting. It was very informal in nature. Quite frankly, it was disrupted by the, motorcades related to the Bush funeral, it was a very informal discussion.
Any questions for Barbara from BC members? Thanks again, Barbara. Claudia, I'll turn it back over to you for the rest of the agenda.
Thank you very much, Steve. Very briefly, also in preparation of the COBIN meeting, we are planning an outreach with the BC Outreach Committee in Kobe. And in order also to attract businesses there, it would be very, very helpful if people could just send to Chantal, who's planning to attend with the, also your title and company, so that we can constitute a list of people that will be there and that might be used to attract further participants. Of course, we will keep you looped in and informed about all of that. Barbara, the most important part for the operation is also trying to set up those meetings for the BC as well. So we would need also input for the speakers that we might want to have for the BC open and closed meeting. And that's it from my side, and I will pass the floor to Jimson.
Thank you very much, Claudia. This is Jimson Olufi, and greetings to all members. Let me begin by welcoming a new member, AXA, Mark Wilson. Welcome. And also to welcome back our member representative Claudia Martinez of Louis Vuitton, Moet NSC. You've been away for quite a while, and we're happy you're back. Precisely, you're away on maternity leave, and we're happy that Putin is well with you. Welcome back. As noted on the agenda, we have decided to integrate a candidate call even for the chair's election in our two committees, that is the Credential Committee and the Outreach Committee. There are candidate statements that have been provided in accordance with our charter. This is our meeting edition of election in the committees. We are listening to them to get their agenda. So the nominated chair for the Federal Committee is Andrew Mack, and for the Outreach Committee is Mei-Ling Kay. As I said, candidate statements have been provided, and we'll just use this opportunity to ask them some questions so that members at large can also get a feel of what they do. They're doing tremendous work in that in those committees. I would like to ask maybe as others send in their question, I would like to ask the candidates maybe beginning from the credential and then the outreach committee what they hope or how they hope to realize better the expectation of our charter with regard to the function of their of the committee. So how do you expect to take this committee to the next level in line with the expectation of the charter? First, for members' recruitment, for members' accreditation, and for members' recruitment for outreach committee. Andrew?
Sure. Jim, can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Okay, great. Well, as everybody, I think, knows, I am the sitting chair of the Credentials Committee. I was asked by XCOM a little while ago to take on that role and have been happy to do it, although it's very much of a group effort. Our goal is to do two things. Number one is to try to find to make sure that everybody who presents an application is appropriately vetted, and hopefully to do it in a way that it leans in the direction of bringing them in, if at all possible, but bringing them in with enough knowledge about who they are so that we know that they're a good fit. And the second thing is to do it as relatively quickly and as much in a consensus way as possible. I think that we've been pretty successful all in all with that. It's a good group of people that works on credentials. Most of the time, the kind of work that we do is aimed at trying to get more data from people to understand a little bit more about who they are and to make sure that they don't fall outside of the BC's guidelines. Occasionally, we are in a situation where we find someone, an applicant that might qualify for different constituencies. Generally speaking, we're happy to have them, but it's also oftentimes worthwhile to understand their motivation for wanting to join the BC. But like I said, our goal is to emphasize in as much as possible. We've had a couple of interesting kind of general themes. I think the one that came up this year was about including lawyers and law firms in our membership, and I think we came to a nice consensus around that our goal was to keep was to make the BC open, that there was really nothing in the charter that precluded a lawyer from participating, and as long as they didn't fall outside of the charter in some other way. I'm happy to answer any questions, and I'm happy to take any support from other members of the Credentials Committee that happen to be on the call, because we very much do function as a group and as a collaborative body. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Andrew. Please do stand by for the question. Well, I apologize. I'm not on the Adobe. Apologize for that. So Chantel wants to see your hand. Let me know. Mei-Ling will be speaking next, responding to how charter can be well served. discuss our expectations on the West South going forward. Thank you. Really? I guess Mary Lee might be on muting. Okay, maybe while we wait for Mary Lee to come online, if there's no hand up, maybe I could ask Mark, as the sitting chair. We updated our charter, and the update was approved last year. And we adjusted the admission threshold, the profit threshold for businesses making profit through registrar operation. So how has that impacted membership criteria and admission? Has that impacted at all?
You know, it's a great question, Jimson. I don't think it's been a big issue. One of the things that is occasionally challenging is, especially in the Global South, what we find is people have, as you know, in Nigeria is often the case, people wear multiple hats, right? And people who are consulting in this space sometimes work, the amount of revenue that they get from a particular source is not fixed in time, right? And so I think that is one of the things that we may, over the course of time, wish to look into a little bit more closely if it becomes an issue more often. We had one candidate for BC membership, I believe it was last year, that was from I think it was from South America, but I have to go back and look at my notes, where that was a question as to whether they fell slightly above the threshold and whether that was at any one point in time or over the course of a few years. And this is an issue, frankly, we'd love to get some more of the BC Broadly's guidance on it. It's my sense that these are guidelines and we want to maintain a little bit of flexibility. Obviously, if it's someone who routinely falls outside the guidelines, that's a no-brainer. We would say no. But it's something that we might want to consider as we're looking at people to especially from underserved parts of the world.
Okay. Thank you very much. So it's a bit
sure.
Good. Yeah, thank you. So it's good to be monitoring, as you said, so that members can be briefed going forward.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's never been a big issue, that's all.
Okay. Thank you. These things, just saying, I don't know if Mary Lane is ready now. Mary Lane? Or if there is any question for Andrew?
Hi, Jimson. This is Chantel. The operator is dialing Marilyn now. We should have her in momentarily.
I think I'm on.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Okay. Marilyn, please go ahead.
Thank you. My apologies. I thought I was connected by audio. Well, first of all, I just wanted to thank BICSCOM and all the BC members for including this opportunity to talk with you about outreach and the role that the outreach committee plays. And also some ideas about how we may be able to further enhance our outreach and awareness activities by not only continuing what we are doing, but also perhaps enhancing in a few ways the input that we provide to ICANN and to others from the community. And I want to give a couple of examples where I hope that the outreach committee, supported by the broader BC membership, will contribute. We do have a strategy. We have a Outlook strategy document, first authored in 2016. It's been updated every year since. We will be needing to update it for 2020. It covers in detail the engagement and outreach activities, including asking BC members to volunteer to help with onboarding and mentoring of new members when they are indeed brand new to the BC, to help to introduce them around and to help to get them up to speed on policy positions and activities. We've been very successful in adding in new members from Latin America and Africa, although we want to add more. But we do need to develop a strategy that can bring in members from Europe, particularly Eastern Europe, Asia, and also I think we need to revisit some of the membership associations that have global reach that are not members at this point, but were initially. And so just to mention a few that have global reach, of course, in Europe, there's Digital Europe, which also has 29 national associations and has some very different member companies from those who are presently engaged in ICANN. In Asia, things are, Claudia mentioned the fact that the discussion is underway in the outreach committee, but with the regional BP staff and also Chris Mondini on how to engage effectively with Asian associations and Asian companies. And that indeed is an area where we do need a better strategy, and we need the input not only of the existing participants in the outreach committee, but help from those companies who may have presence, a physically active business presence in some of the countries such as Japan, South Korea, and also I would just reference that we will be going in 2020 to Malaysia, and it's not too early to look ahead and start thinking about how we update our strategy document to take into account a longer-term view than just 1 year at a time. I do want to return to more frequent working calls. It's been very, very challenging this year due to how busy everyone is, but we will try to return to that and, of course, take minutes and then be able to have ongoing reports back to the full membership on ideas about how the full membership can help in outreach and growing the BC. I just want to make one final point, and that is one other area that we don't have perhaps enough focus on is the area of security and stability. And I'm glad that Scott is on the call because of his extensive background. We also have other members with strong presence in that area. That is such a high priority that it may be a way for us to also broaden some of our outreach activities. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Marilyn, Chair nominated for the Outreach Committee. I don't know if there's any question for Marilyn. Maybe while you think about that, Marilyn, I want to ask a question. In the past, we've always designed the leadership development program to bring in potential new members, especially from developing countries, and with that, countries like maybe Japan has been annihilated, and maybe other advanced, at least key, principally the experience we have had is that someone from Japan has been annihilated, has not been able to attend an event based on that because it's, Japan is a developed country. So with the maybe challenge for outreach we have in Japan now that we're still working on, do you think it might be necessary to kind of upgrade the criteria to include maybe some specific developed countries where we do not have membership or we have low membership? Eastern Europe is also another one in that regard. So will you consider maybe a review of leadership development program so that some select developed country can beneficiary can be included?
Thank you for the question. I did reference our leadership program in my comments because I think it's important for us to re-energize it and both resume our own financial investment in it, but also try to pursue returning some of ICANN's financial investment to us. We can spend our own funds on, if we identify someone who is a well-defined, interested candidate, and in particular, if they're able to help us reach other businesses within that country, I do think it would be worthwhile our looking into that. It might be that we wouldn't even have to provide complete sponsorship to a business entity, or we might be able to set a certain level of sponsorship that we provide, which would then encourage the association or the business to provide some matching, which indicates their commitment and interest in the BC. I will say, though, that I think we need to continue what we've been doing in the past, and that is a mentoring call, an introduction call, materials briefings ahead of time, and then on-site mentoring where those executives are able to meet with our officers, they're able to shadow a BC member that has expertise in an area they may be interested in, so they really feel well introduced to ICANN when they go back home.
Okay, thank you very much, Marilyn. Any question or comments to the candidates, please, committee chair candidate? Well, in the absence of any, I would like to know that after this call, beginning from tomorrow, the election will take place, but within the committee. The election will take place within the committee. And for our information, according to our charter, there is provision for members of the committees to have a term, max two terms and one extra. So that means in a short while, maybe another year or two, there will be a call out for new members that may want to join. So on this note, thank you. If there's still no other hands up, then I will just hand over back to Claudia. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jimson. I cannot see if there is eventual hands up on the chat, so please let me know in case. But if you have any other points to raise, please do so now. I believe there is none. So with that, I would close the call, and we'll speak in 2 weeks. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call, and have a nice rest of the day.
Thanks, Claudia.
Thank you, everyone. Operator, you may now stop the recording. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and enjoy the rest of your day.